This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
We take you now to Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center in New York to hear the Sunday morning Religious Science service.
For the radio audience, I'll just say this is Raymond Charles Barker. However, most of you know my voice and know who it is. A friend of mine gave me a quotation just as I was backstage here, and I'd like to use it for our opening remarks today. Whatever your condition and circumstances of life may be, your harbored thought, whatever it may be, is responsible for it. This was written 200 years ago by Benjamin Franklin. And it says everything we've got to say. Let me read it again. Whatever your condition and circumstances of life may be, your harbored thought, whatever it may be, is responsible for it. Benjamin Franklin. That's kind of interesting. I think that's very interesting. Now, as you've heard me say many times, philosophy has always proclaimed much that we are teaching. Religion didn't. Religion said that your circumstances were due to the will of God. But philosophy, many enlightened philosophers, did not say this. They said something similar to what Benjamin Franklin said. And again, it's back to the old saw that the inside determines the outside. And so we're right back on familiar territory again. This is definitely the teaching of religious science, the science of mind. So whatever he says, your harbored thought. Now, that's a good word. It means protected, you know. Well, in those days, sailing vessels ran for harbor when the storms got bad, for protection. Whatever your little inside protected thought, usually protected from you. you built a nice little wall around it so you don't have to see it or know it. You protected it from yourself. So sometime this week, remember this statement of harbored thought and say to yourself, what is it in my mind I don't want to look at? I want to keep it safe from my observation. And it might reveal some very interesting things. All right, let's be still a moment for our treatment. And know that there is one mind, one intelligence. One action of good, it is everywhere, so it is here. It is where each person is at this instant. And it is in action for expanding good. Not just the good we have, it is in action for expanding good. Troward in his writing says that the creative mind, the creative spirit, is always producing something better than that which has gone before. So now in the lives of each one of us, whether we're here or whether we're listening by radio, the creative spirit is producing something greater than that which has gone before, individually. for this organization collectively. All right, so it is. All right, let us turn to the third inside page of the program. You old-timers may not even need to turn to it. So, the song we sing every Sunday. And it's a honey. It's good. All right, we build a new tomorrow. We draw the pattern clear. We make our plans with wisdom, for mind is ever here. Our thinking makes our future. Our actions pave the way. We build a new tomorrow on patterns formed today. And I think we should give credit to Ms. Sims. She wrote those words. Isn't that good? They're great. Right. All right, it's a grand old tune. Let us stand and sing it with authority. Now, I'm talking today on a very corny subject. Mental house cleaning. Well, we're in the spring of the season, and in the days when I was growing up, we did a spring house cleaning. I remember it because my mother saw to it that I did most of it. She would inform me that I was able-bodied. I won't tell you how long ago that was, but at any rate, we cleaned the house, and I mean we cleaned it. And so, with that as a symbol, it might do us some good to check over what needs to be thrown out of our own consciousness. What needs to be tossed away. Anything that you are worried about and can do nothing about it, get rid of it. I'll say that one again. Anything that worries you and you can do nothing about it, throw it away. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Or take an intelligent stand and do something about it. So, when I read the newspapers, listen to the radio and all, I listen. Period. And what I can do nothing about, I release. I loose it and let it go. Now, mental health thing. First of all, when you begin to clean up your mind, you may find some great jewels. You might find some very nice ideas, attitudes, motivations. You know, you're not always on a witch hunt for your own problems. You might find some great good that is in your consciousness. And you may not even be aware at this minute that it's there, but it is. And it's there. Now, there's a lovely story told in the Old Testament about Elijah, or it might have been Elisha, because the two get mixed up in my mind very often. And the reason is they get so mixed up in the Bible. So if they get mixed up in the Bible, they get mixed up in my consciousness too, because they were fantastic men. And they seemingly had great spiritual power. At any rate, one of the stories regarding these men is the widow. And of course, that's always a catchy thing. If you can't get the mother and the child, then you get the widow. They never worry about a widower. At any rate, the lovely story of the widow whose son was in debtor's prison. And she said to the prophet, "What can I do to get my son free?" And the wonderful statement, "What hast thou in thine house?" And she said, "All I have is a cruse of oil." And so they said to her, "Gather skins and all," because in those days they used skins to gather liquids, "and all urns, whatever you have, and pour your cruse of oil." And so she gathered, let us say, 50 buckets around her, and she took her cruse of oil and began pouring, and it never stopped, until every vessel that she had was full. And then they said, "All right, now sell the oil and get your son out of prison." Now, I like this. It's been floating through my mind for the last couple of days. Because you and I put ourselves in our own individual prisons of mind. A statement that always intrigued me was the statement of Jesus that he came to set the captives free. And he's talking to people just like you and myself. Meaning, they were in their own unconscious captivity. To negatives, to problems, and all. Now you and I then, perhaps have taken our harbored thought, the phrase I used earlier. We have isolated our inner thing, and some of these may be like the cruse of oil. They may be the very thing that will set us free. Our own inward goodness. Our own inward life, intelligence, consciousness, call it by any name. That I am, as the Bible calls it. That, correctly known and understood, releases you from the prison of your own consciousness. Now, remember that this woman, widow, had nothing but a cruse of oil, but that's all she needed. That was all she needed. Now, you may say, "Well, I'm just so filled up with negatives, I can't seem to find the positive." Find one. That'll do it. Find one. You know, I quite often say to myself, I believe in the goodness of life. I believe in my own goodness. I believe in the goodness of my fellow man. I may be walking down the street when I think it. It may be shortly after I wake up. I do a lot of my spiritual thinking in front of the mirror while I'm shaving. It could be any time. I find a nugget of consciousness that needs expanding, needs to flow out. So she had the only thing necessary for her demonstration. You have the only thing necessary for yours, and you already have it. Now, you may say, how do I know I have it? Because you are spiritually equipped. Your mind is a spiritual instrument. Now, maybe I better define the word spiritual. And to me, the word spiritual means intelligence in beneficent action. I want no mystery. The spirit in me or in you is intelligence in beneficent action. Or, if you want to be more poetical, it is intelligence balanced with love. This you have. This I have. And not because we had anything to do with it. It is our equipment by virtue of being. It is ours. We can either disregard it, or we can be aware of it and enjoy the benefits. Because the spirit at the center of consciousness is always beneficent. Why, Dr. Holmes calls it a divine givingness. It is always trying to give you more and more and more. Now, you're going to say, well, does that mean more money? Only in part. Only in part, but it's going to give you more wisdom, more love, more creativeness, more joy, more peace. You go on with an endless list. That at the center, which gives of itself. And you're going to say, well, why does it give of itself? Because that's its nature. Why is a rose a rose? It's its nature. Why are you what you are? Because it's your nature. It's the way you are. You can't explain it. The age-old mystery of why was I born? You know, oldest question probably in the world. I don't know, but you were born. And I was born. And I'm here, and you're here. And it is by my nature to have self-expression. By your nature to have self-expression. That's why you have it. You have this which gives out from the center. You have this which gives out, projects. And you can be the most unassuming individual in the world, but you are still projecting yourself. So you may say, well, but the old adage, silence is golden. Not entirely. Your word has power. Not entirely true. If silence were the answer, then the monasteries would have cured the world, and they didn't. Untold thousands of people never spoke for years and were going around thinking prayer. But it didn't end the war and didn't cure anything. It may have been good for them. And it may have been good for the organization in which they were functioning. I don't know. But this within you, which is speechless, yet you speak it. Which is soundless, yet you are its sound. Which is absolute intelligence, yet you are the knower. Know it. It is complete and total perfect life, and you are infusing your body with it. The whole bit. And it is total everything. So when you do your mental house cleaning, you come across this. At the center is the living spirit. Cluttered around it are all your human opinions. All that you don't like, all that you do like, all of your old resentments and all the rest, and all the good things. They're all there. They're cluttered around it. But it is not imprisoned. That center is always free. As I said earlier, you can ignore it. We've had millions of people ignoring it for years. If you were to say the average person in your neighborhood, do you know that the total spirit of life is at the center of your being? They'd say, can't care less. Couldn't care less. As a matter of fact, at least they're honest. And then you say, well, but it's so. And they say, who said so? And they say, well, a man by the name of Barker. Him? Well, forget it. Forget it. Now, the truth is still there, though. That the spirit of life, which is the totality of consciousness, the totality of the infinite, whatever this is we call infinite mind, is there at the center. And it gives of itself when it's given a chance. Now, when you do your spiritual mental work, what we call in this teaching, treatment. When you do this kind of thing, you are literally getting rid of some of the clutter around this spiritual center. You really are. You're getting rid of it. And you're giving this a chance to come out. If you live in the suburbs, you know that the time has come to weed your gardens. Why? So that what you want to have grow will grow. And so you get rid of that which would restrict the growth of the plant. And as a result, later on, you have the bloom, or whatever it may be. Because you have weeded out that which would restrict. Now, you're going to say, well, but what is there in my consciousness that would restrict me? I don't know. But I'd better do some search on my own consciousness, not on yours. Because from now throughout eternity, I am the only person I am going to live with inside my own self. Now, I will live with people, sure. But I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. I'm the only person I will ever live with inside of my own consciousness. Oh, I'll have loved ones, I'll have friends, but they won't be in my consciousness other than as that. The I that I am, that which is without name, the I that I am is constant. Now, I can use it anywhere I want. Remember, the good and evil are the two ends of the same stick. And the stick is the creative power of your mind. And you can use it either way. Remember, the widow could have said, no, I don't want to use my cruse of oil. She could have. She'd say, oh, it's the last thing I have. Are you even going to rob me of this? But she didn't say that. She used her spiritual asset, I'll call it. She used that which she had, and therefore prospered. The center self, which is, I said, is called the I Am, is the unlimited, unconditioned you or myself. It is total, it is complete, it is whole, it is the whole thing. But you see, through the ages, the general public was never taught that this was so. The philosopher sensed it. Great minds like Isaiah and Jesus knew it and said it. The Father in me, and so forth. But to the general public, you became spiritual by not doing something. And of course, that is not the way to become spiritual. Not at all. And many of our people, through the years, have tried it and found that it didn't work. I tried it. I was once the most virtuous prig you ever knew. It was awful. And I lost friends and everything else. One day I woke up to me. And so I didn't do this, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do the other thing, and I didn't do the other thing while everybody else was doing it. And I was the self-containment of virtue. And virtuous people are dreadful. You ever lived with one? You know all about them. They're smug. They look down their nose at you. Oh, I want nothing of that. That is of too much of the world, I used to say. And then I discovered I didn't want to go anywhere else, so I better stay with the world. Yeah. So then I became at least partially normal again, much to everyone's delight, particularly my immediate family. Now, the do without, that isn't it. You'll say, well, that means I should do everything? No. Do the things you want to do. I don't do everything. I have no desire to do a lot of things, so don't do them. But I have no condemnation of the people who do them. Not at all. Not at all. So, this center, in our mental house cleaning, we'll find it. We will find that which is eternal in mind. Now, you may not be able to say, well, but I don't think it's eternal. That's all right. That's your opinion. You have a right to it. You see, if everyone agreed with me, I no longer have a reason for being. No sense of my coming down here and talking all the time. Unless there is something to stimulate my consciousness. Someone said to me on the West Coast, Dr. Barker, where do you speak on Sunday mornings? And I said, I speak in the sub-basement of the Juilliard School of Music building at Lincoln Center. The sub-basement? Yeah. Because I never forget that when we came in here and saw the auditorium before it was ready, and I managed, in those days, I was standing up here as a hunk of concrete or something. And Miss Homer, the director of the building at that time, said, you know, Dr. Barker, when you stand here, you're in the sub-basement of the Juilliard building. I said, well, that's very easy. So whenever I get a chance, people say, where do you speak at Lincoln Center? I speak in the sub-basement. And their eyes go up. So, and halfway up, by the way, you're in the basement. I'm sub here. Halfway up, you're in the basement. It's a very nice place to be. I like both. Out of the back. At the center is that which is. And I may never contact it, but I have, and you have. We are the people who know it. In part, but never in full. In part, but never in full. Because life is that way. As consciousness, we can expand consciousness, but never arrive at a final expansion. There isn't any way to do it. The moment we have taken in great creative ideas, we discover there are more creative ideas to come in. And that's why this is an open-end idea we're teaching here at the Science of Mind. New ideas, fresh ideas, great ideas. Never a closed book, never a finished thing. And that's true of you individually, as well as what we're doing collectively. You are not finished. A philosopher of the early 1900s said, man is not yet created. He is still in process. It was Albert Hubbard said that. Man is not yet created. He is still in process. We are still in the process of becoming. No matter what our age level is, matters not. No matter what our circumstances are, they matter not. We are becoming because we are consciousness. And at the center of consciousness is the cruise of oil that is inexhaustible that will give us the solution and never be depleted. Now, it doesn't say in this lovely story that at the end, the cruise of oil was depleted. No. We just assume that she still had a full cruise of oil after she had all of her buckets full, after she'd been able to arrange the release of her son. No. The inexhaustibleness. That which is and always will be, but always fresh and new. Always the tomorrow. Not the yesterday. Not the 10 years ago or whatever. That which is now becoming tomorrow. That which is now becoming. Because you are now becoming your tomorrow. I am now becoming my tomorrow. We all are. All right, let's clean house a little bit more. Get out the old stuff that needs to be thrown away. You know, blessed are whatever means you use to get rid of things you don't want. I happen to live in an apartment house with a very efficient. Used to be an incinerator. Now we drop it down, they stag it up and carry it out. And all I have to do is walk about 100 feet, open a door, and down it goes. And I do it a lot of it. Now, I should do the same thing with my consciousness. What in my mind should I throw down that incinerator? Some years ago, you old-timers will remember it, when I was extremely heavy in weight, I decided to throw it away. I decided not to lose it, so that I'd want back. Anything you lose, you want back. So I said, all right, I'm going to throw it away. And every time I went to the incinerator, and I usually go 3 or 4 times a week, I go to the incinerator, I say, okay now, subconscious mind, I'm throwing 2 more pounds down this incinerator. I'd empty whatever I had to empty, go back into my apartment. Well, it helped. And it went. And it's forever been down that incinerator, and it's never coming back. They have packaged it and carried it off wherever they carry it. So, but I had to throw it away. So everyone said, oh, you look so much better with it gone. Of course I did. I look much better with it gone. I like myself better with it gone. I got rid of something that was cluttering around my sense of intelligence. My sense of intelligence. Because there at the center is the means. The know-how, the whole thing. Now, at the external level, I may flounder. The best of us do that. There are always times of uncertainty in our individual lives. But if we clear thought, say, wait a minute, in consciousness, this cannot be. Therefore, I am life. And I am the intelligence, I am the know-how, I am the whole thing. And then I go back and start all over. But I've gone to the center. I have done some cleaning of the mind, clearing. And I have found that which I need it. Because the thing that you need, you already have. Only you don't know you have it. The thing that you need, you already have, but you don't know that you have it. And when I know, or you know, that you have it, then it can begin to appear. But as long as you proclaim that you have it not, it remains unrevealed. Remains unrevealed. Now, get out your mental vacuum cleaner and get out your mental floor mop and your mental silver polish. And you know what else is always in among those things? Ammonia. And start in. Now you may say, but Dr. Barker, I find a great many things in my consciousness that I don't like. All right. Get rid of them. And how do you do it? By just saying, mentally, I threw these down the incinerator. Or whatever is your method of getting rid of refuse. Mentally, I'm just throwing these off. When you consider the time wasted in worry about something that might happen or is happening or did happen, that vicious Victrola record. It's evil. And without knowing it, we turn it on. Without realizing it, we expand. Here's one place, and I don't usually give public testimonials, but here's one place that I have cut down in my life. I do not worry, and I used to worry. Now, you're going to say, don't you ever worry. If so, it's such a short one, because I know now. It's a shorty. What will happen if? Forget it. It either happens or it doesn't happen. Forget it. Well, I know, but Dr. Barker, if you had all the problems I've got, well, what do you think about? I've got problems, too. Only I keep my mouth quiet about the problem. That's the only difference. I keep what? Now, inside, you see, I want that which the wisdom people call the kingdom of God inside of the individual. And the great ones knew it. That was their language of saying what we've said here today. That the perfection of life is inside the individual. It's there. So the teacher said, it's not low here or low there. The kingdom of God is within you. And the people listened, thought it was perfectly beautiful, and did nothing about it. But you see, we are center people, maneuvering our circumference as we want it to be. We are working from the center to the circumference and predetermining the circumference of what it will be. And so what is it we all want? We want health, we want wealth, we want love, and we want self-expression on the circumference. And the only way to get it there is to start here on the inside. And you're going to say, well, when you say start here, do you mean a location inside? No. 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 My first teacher told me that my solar plexus was spiritual. My later teacher said, hooey. The only thing that is spiritual is consciousness. Not a nerve center in the body. Oh, I used to concentrate on it. That's my pineal gland. Oh, my. Oh. You know, it's very hard to grow up. It took me years to grow up and discover that a great deal that is taught in this field of thought is stupid and nonsensical. I've said it. At any rate, I no longer concentrate on my pineal gland or my solar plexus. Now, consciousness is not location. Location is in consciousness. Consciousness is never in location. Location is always in consciousness. All right? So endeth the lesson. Thank you very much. And now we're going to receive the morning collection. And I ask you to be as generous with your money as you were with your applause. Thank you. announcements this afternoon at our own building, which is at 14 East 48th Street, New York, New York, 10017. I give that always for the radio audience. At any rate, at 1:30 this afternoon, there'll be the final meeting of the season of our alumni association, the graduates of our classes. And their speaker today is our good associate, the Reverend Stuart Grace. So you who are a part of the organization, or if you'd like to come as a guest, you can find out outside all about it. Tonight at 6 o'clock at our building, Mr. Fritz Hermans will be speaking. At 6 o'clock, this is a public lecture to which you're all invited. Out in the lobby this morning is Mrs. Jacobson of the Jacobson Travel Bureau. If you want to chat with her about our vacation together, on the back of your program, it says, "Come take your vacation with Dr. Barker." Yeah. Now, you pay your own way. However, we're taking out this magnificent ship, the SS Rotterdam, for a week, and you are invited to be on board with us. And if you'd like to ask her questions, prices, and all the rest, Mrs. Jacobson is outside and will be very glad to answer them. All right, as you know, all of these talks, whether mine or Miss Grayson's, are all on cassette tapes. Also, we have some other interesting cassette tapes other than the Sunday talk. There's one out there on how to demonstrate unexpected money. That ought to do it. And there's another one out there called 13 Treatments to be used each day, as well as the Sunday morning talk. And therefore, you can have them play at any time that you want. And for our radio audience, the tapes are $5 each, and we're very happy to mail them to you. Now, it's the first of the month. Oh, oh. Magazines, your tools. Every month, I tell you, we have two tools. We have the Science of Mind magazine, and we have the Creative Thought magazine. You might be interested to know that between the two magazines, we sell over 1,800 copies a month on our table. I think that's fantastic. That's beside all the subscriptions. So, if you don't have them for June, you need them for your daily work. And the Science of Mind magazine, which is now 60 cents, the Creative Thought, which is now 50 cents. And so, for the radio audience, mail us a check for $1.10 and just say, "I want those two tools, the two magazines," and we'll send them off to you. Now, I guess that's all. The regular schedule for the week, except that Mr. Grayson will be taking the Thursday noon lecture. I'd like to say that after 20-some years of devoted service, of loyalty, that Mrs. Sims is leaving us as of today for her own expanding work as a practitioner and teacher. She has taken that stand with my... This is by mutual agreement. And so if you're going to say, "Well, what happened?" Nothing. She decided that she'd played this organ long enough. And so she's going on into her own creative work. She's still being a practitioner and teacher and all the rest. So we do want to just say again that we appreciate all that she has done through these many, many years. Now, I'm going to read you again our Benjamin Franklin statement to carry home with you. Whatever your condition and circumstances of life may be, your harbored thought, protected, your harbored thought, whatever it may be, is responsible for it. That's quite a statement. So, I hope he's looking down at us from somewhere, saying, isn't it great now? There's a great body of people that believe the same thing I believe. You know? And if he's not, when you go over there on that side of life, find him and tell him so. Tell him all about it. So, at any rate, this has been a good hour. This center of absolute magnificence in your soul and in mine. The center that is all life, all love, all greatness, that is that. And you and I know it. All right, shall we stand for our closing idea together? And I am knowing with you and for you and for myself that all the good there is centered in your consciousness and in mine. For in your consciousness and mine is mind, spirit, God. There it is. It is saying, look unto me and be ye healed, all the ends of the earth. For I am the Lord thy God, and besides me there is none other. That's a great statement from the book of Isaiah. So this spirit inside is saying, look unto me, and be ye healed, all the ends of my earth and my experience. For I am the Lord thy God, and beside me there is none other. All right? So it is.
Sunday morning lecture of religious science has been broadcast from Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center in New York. Please address all letters and contributions to Dr. Raymond Charles Barker at 14 East 48th Street, New York 10017. A list of books and pamphlets is available on request. You're cordially invited to attend these lectures in person or listen again next Sunday morning at 11:05. For another broadcast of the Sunday morning lecture of religious science.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.